Hello, my name is My name is Fran. Welcome to the Heal Into Your Awakening podcast. How are you guys? I hope everyone is doing well. It's the 3rd of March. We are heading into what I consider the new year, where the spring is springing, the leaves are blooming, and everything is just coming anew. So the spring solstice. I celebrate New Year, but I typically celebrate like the spring solstice. My birthday is right around the solstice, so I'm like, it's a new me, new dawn, and I'm feeling new. I want to say thank you to every single one of you guys that have liked, shared, subscribed to the podcast. Thank you guys so, so much. And I want to say thank you to everyone who kind of shared their experience with the Mother Wounds podcast. Y'all, the Mother Wounds episode, not podcast. But when I tell you guys that I felt so scattered, I have intentionally not listened to the podcast. Usually I like share with my friends and I tell them to listen, but I haven't done that. And it's because I feel like I got a little personal there and I'm learning to find strength and vulnerability. I feel like I'm vulnerable here, but there's levels to it. And I went a little in detail. So I was able to converse with a few people and the conversation was interesting and I was grateful for it, but they were like telling me specific things that they related to. And I'm grateful that I'm not alone in this experience dealing with a toxic parent and healing from it. Right before I started back on the podcast, I had moments of just insecurities, like, I want to, but I can't. I don't know what's going on with me. And then I sit with my ancestors every Sunday. And I remember talking to them and saying that, guys, I want to come back. It's not like I don't want to, but I just want help. This week or this month, I just want things to motivate me to go further. And when I would check the podcast, I would see someone leaving a review or rating the podcast. Or I would see someone sending me an email or a voice note or a thing on Instagram or even on TikTok. And I want to say thank you guys so much for being a vessel from Source, because I literally prayed for that. I said, if this is something that you guys want me to do, I just need a little push. And I remember this particular person saying that, I'm not sure what you're going through, but I can tell you that what you have gone through has helped me along my way. And I'm not trying to be selfish or take your time. And I'm paraphrasing here, but I want you to know that I'm waiting because you have helped me. You have made my experience easier. So I want to use this time to say that if you're experiencing something and you feel led to share, reach out, compliment, give, do it. Just do it. Because that might be God. God uses us to connect, help, assist, push another person. So please don't stop. Okay. So today I wanted my topic to be entitled Unbelieve Everything You Feel. And this has been my newest revelation. I mean, I know that, like, I think I talk about Don't Believe Everything You Think, and I think I've touched on this topic for a minute, but it really, really came to light of, like, recently while I was while I was taking a break from the podcast. And this was like my newest revelation that got me the motivation that I needed to be here. So shall we begin? So don't believe everything you feel. Where do I start? Let's start first by giving a disclaimer. This might seem a little scattered, but stick with me. You can get something out of it. I promise you. The way I learn is I set foundational understandings first. And then that allows me to go back, right? So it's kind of like the way I experience in life right now is a more evolved version of me. But I see myself as my inner child's parent. I'm learning, I'm executing, and I'm executing from awareness. So in order for me to get through to an unevolved version of me, of my inner child, right, which is typically the person that runs the show, it is by me coming to her with knowledge that she cannot argue. So I ingrain certain things in my head before I come to her. So I take my time. It's a full-time job, but you're worth it and I'm worth it. So first and foremost, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. I speak about this every single time. We are essence of the Creator. We are all on a journey. And this is why I don't allow other people to deter me when it comes to my beliefs. My beliefs are through experience and through, like, taking my time to learn. So true, actual research. But I also don't believe that they're necessarily wrong in their journey, because I don't know what they chose their soul journey is. I ever know what mine is. So it's important to take your time to learn you on a spiritual level, on a human level, right? So understanding we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. Source, God, the Creator, is one. We are all part of the Creator. We are all experiencing this for our greater consciousness. The experiences we have here is when we leave this earth plane, I will no longer be Franklin and you will no longer be you. But we would take the knowledge that Franklin and you learn, and we will take it, and our soul will be more evolved, and we choose to reincarnate here. We will embark as a more evolved being. We are all experiencing life differently. Religion might be some people's way of experiencing life that caters to what their soul needs. Spirituality might be yours, but neither of us is wrong. I often see this where a lot of times people who are melanated, their human body is melanated, decide that they are more powerful than people who are white. Or people who are white decide they're more powerful. No one is more powerful than the other. We are all of one. And if you have really taken your time to dive deep into spirituality, you will understand that we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. And our human experience restricts us through color, through gender, through sexuality, through different beliefs and different groups. But when we leave here, our consciousness is one. Okay? This may be controversial to some of you guys. If I can say anything, I can only speak on what I have experienced, what I know for myself. And I can tell you right now that when you are dealing with your human experience, please remove limitations. Limitation includes race, gender, sexuality, all of that stuff, and just come as you and ask yourself questions. What do I need to learn? And affirmations and all that stuff. But we'll get to that a little later into the episode, okay? So that's that. So the goal is going to be to merge both the spiritual aspect and the human aspect, because that's the whole point that we're here, right? Your brain is literally a memory bank, and it compartmentalizes all our experiences into one. So one thing happens to you, the mind takes that, something that's somewhat familiar, it takes that, and it just goes. And then it repeats those thoughts to you that are like, in correspondence with each other. It just keeps repeating those patterns, and then those patterns create feelings. So a lot of us that have experienced childhood trauma are going to wake up. Like for me, there are days that I wake up and I'm upset and I don't even quite know why I'm upset or anxious. So one time I was talking to my therapist and I'm like, my sleep pattern is jacked. It's always been jacked. I wake up at the crack of dawn. No matter what time I go to sleep, I wake up once the sun starts setting. And he was like, I bet. Go figure. And I'm like, what do you mean, Craig? What are you talking about? But he was basically like, because you experienced trauma in your childhood, your mind, even when you're asleep, like, is on a high alert. It's like you're constantly looking for the next trigger. Your body wants to survive, and your mind is like the orchestrator of that. But your stomach also, you know, remind you of things. So there are times where I remember this time at work, I was going to work, and then I had smelled barbecue. I smelled barbecue and I just kept driving, you know, and then I started, like, my heart started skipping. and I started feeling like really heavy in my stomach. And I didn't know. I didn't think. And I used to say, like, in my mind, I used to tell myself that that was God trying to tell me that something really bad was about to happen. Again, survival and us using different aspects of ourselves of whatever's going on in our life. Because I used to be a really religious person. I used to say that God was trying to warn me that something really bad was going to happen. So then I would start praying, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And that was my life. I'll keep saying it. But because I believed that that would help, it helped. Or sometimes something really bad will happen. I'm like, I told you so. So when I started my spiritual journey and I started to understand my body and I started my mind and I was in therapy, I'm driving this day. And then I smelt like kerosene. But I don't know if how many American people use kerosene, but I smelt it and I forgot about it. And I'm driving. I take a few exits and then my heart started to skip and I didn't attach it to that smell. I just started having anxiety, but then I had the chance to sit back and be like, why do I have anxiety? What just happened? This is so familiar. Me say at this point, I had removed myself from religion a little bit and I dived into spirituality, which allowed me to ask more questions. So instead of saying I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, I was like, what is triggering this? Like, why am I feeling like this? And then I thought about the times as a kid in the evening time when people were like they were making suya and roasted meat and all this stuff. And the lady that my mom left me with was an alcoholic. So she would like drink and then maybe get in her feelings. And I was the easiest target. So she would, during those times, she would just like grab onto me and like fight me. And trigger warning, I'm sorry for anyone who's overly sensitive, but this is the only way I can be able to explain that particular experience. So it clicked on me why, what it was. I smelt the meat roasting, the kerosene and all that stuff. And I attached it to something negative because around that time, and whenever she would drink, it got to a point where when I was around people who I could smell alcohol on their breath, I would take my time to the point when I went to Liberia, every time my mom drank, I would go and like hide myself in the room to the point she called me one day and was like, hey, every time I notice when I come out, when I go out with my friends and I come out, you always are in your room. And I remembered that and I had told her what it was. But again, the brain compartmentalized that smell, that experience with something to be triggered by, something to be on alert by. And then my stomach then starts whoop, like skipping a beat, like my stomach is like churning. And then I go into religion and I rebuke it, but I'm on high alert. People are walking by me. People are, you know, saying hi to me. I don't even want them to say hi to me too long because I want to go back into prayer. So again, this is a feeling that I had. This feeling was valid. And sometimes nothing happens, but sometimes something happens and I'm like, oh yeah, I was trying to warn myself. And then sometimes, assuming I don't pray enough, let's say I'm praying, and then somebody comes to me and start having a conversation with me and I forget to say, I rebuke it whenever I get that contraction. And then something does happen negative, I automatically blame myself for that. So as I evolved, that feeling, that thought pattern evolved with me, and it merged itself with like my current experience and stuff. So it was very, very valid. It made a lot of sense. There is no one that could have came to me and told me, no, this is not what it's not, but other than myself. But because I took the time to learn, to look into what was really happening to me. And not only that, right? I wanted to understand the vessel that I'm in, my body. How does it function? What is happening here? I knew nothing about mental health or anything. I knew, but it didn't really register to me as much as when I said enough. This was like end of 2017. I was like, enough, Franklin, enough. So I really want you to take that. And know that the only way you can do it is not by this episode, but I hope this episode serves as motivation or as a light bulb to go and study yourself and study how your mind works. But I want you to take away with this, right? If you're listening to this episode, this is a spiritual episode. So you understand one way or the other that you're a spiritual being having a human experience. You're just understanding the vessel that you're in. But the God within you is what creates. So merging like something that is so powerful, right? That power within you inside this vessel is creating. So this vessel, whatever you focus on, you create, right? And imagine your mind being a computer focusing on these things to help you to survive. You've compartmentalized these experiences and it's helping you to survive. So you are experiencing triggers. And then the triggers are constantly reminding your people and shit, dating sucks. I gotta like, as far as my people pleaser, I gotta like work from love. I gotta show that I'm worthy. I gotta do all this stuff. And you're, because the vessel of God that is within you and you are blinded to that, you are continuously bringing people in your life that are repeating those things for you to, that is going to solidify that feeling of inadequacy or whatever you have, whatever negative or positive, whatever you focus on, whatever you continuously feel is going to repeat. And it's going to continuously solidify because it has to. You are God in a human form. So you, whatever you're focusing on, intentionally or unintentionally, is going to have to show up. That's that. When you believe something, it happens. So our thoughts create our feelings. Our feelings create what we see, create beliefs, right? How many of us feel a way towards things, right? So, and then it shows up and you're like, oh yeah, this must be true. So it's a pattern until you decide, boop, no, stop. And I'm going to share my ways of combating. I'm going to share my ways of actually like very recently how I stopped. I was back on that hamster wheel. I had left the things that was making me happy, like being intentional about healing. And I was still doing it, but just not at the capacity that I was. And I kept praying and asking my guides to stop me because I was on a roll. Towards the end of this year, my aunt's birthday came about and I had dinner with the family. I am the cousin. I am not a brother or sister. And that has had its own complications and it's in it from me. Again, because feelings, thoughts, I grew up not around family, extended family. I create assumptions from that. I walked in that. Things continuously show up to remind me like of that, right? So, boom. Fast forward. My aunt has this friend who I like. I love her style. I think she's a very beautiful woman, and I looked up to her. Growing up, right, I used to feel like anyone that came around, I used to look up to, disappointed me, right? Again, I'm able to correlate that to that now that I'm sitting here, but during that time, I wasn't. So we'll go to dinner. I take my child. My son comes. We have a family group chat. And I think in that family group chat, we're talking about the dinner. And they were like, oh, no kids are allowed. I saw it as the kids can come. I was busy with work and stuff. So I went to the dinner with my son. And my uncle's like, oh, no, you know, kids were not allowed. And I'm like, oh, oops. You know, I was trying to explain that. And a lady was like, basically, I'm paraphrasing it, but like she was like, and I was trying to explain to my uncle was like, oh, you know, one of my cousin-in-law was going to feel some type of way because my son was there. And I was trying to explain like, oh no, like my son is older, just not even completely thinking. And then she just jumped up, but he's not a grandson. And when I tell you, right, that's such a simple statement. That is a valid statement, but that is a statement that literally took me back to 13, 12-year-old Franklin. And not only did it take me back there, now I'm actually back there with my child who I have to protect. Because he's next to me, he's 10 years old. That is around the time where I experienced so much trauma. I'm hyper alert and I'm so upset because I'm seeing him as me. I go into a show, I'm super upset. And because I have practiced so much inner child work, reparenting my inner child, I'm upset at myself that I'm upset at something so minute, at somebody who doesn't really have much relevance other than the fact that I like her. I don't know her personally. I don't know her beliefs. I just like her. I admire her. And because deep down I have this belief that people, older women that I admire, disappoint me, this happens. I'm able to look at it now. I'm able to tell you that that is what it is. But in that time, no one could tell me, no one could make me to make that connection. So I then take my son home and I'm over here, like, my cousin's talking to me. I cried about it a couple of times and everything, because I feel like that statement was a way to remind me of my irrelevance, or remind my child that he shouldn't have been there. There are so many times in my childhood where I was reminded of my irrelevance, or reminded me that I shouldn't be in a space, or I should go back of the line because I wasn't important. There were times, I remember this one time, and I'm sharing these things with you now because I just really want to give you guys context and hopefully help somebody who might have experienced, people that have been in foster care, people that have been adopted, people that didn't really live with their parents. This is something that we have lived through, but we don't realize we're living through at our big ages. I'm close to 30. I will be 35 in April. So my stepfather had a wife and four daughters, and my mother was his girlfriend. And I remember my stepfather was somebody who was important. And I remember I used to walk home sometimes, and I saw this lady who would always say hi to me. And she would sometimes give me like candy, and she would be like, "How's your dad? Say hi to your dad, say hi to your mom." And it just made me feel good. It made me feel seen, because I was at home and no one really noticed me. No one really saw me. So as a kid, like, I took whatever I got, whatever attention I got. So I would purposely go out of my way to walk around the area where she had her market. And she would always, "Oh my God, how are you? How are you, my darling? Give me a hug. Be so nice to me." So she became somebody who I liked and admired and I look forward to seeing. And I remember one time I'm walking, and then she completely disregarded me. Not only did she disregard me, she just looked up and down at me in disgust. And in Nigeria, during those days, I mean, this, when I say during those days, this was like 1998, 99, stepkids were seen as taboo. My mom was dealing with a married man, so that even made her even lower. And then I'm not even his kid, and he's taking care of me like, ill, you know? But that woman's action made me feel so low and so dirty and so small. And that feeling was very similar to what I felt that night at dinner. I just didn't relate it. And I was so upset. And there were so many times, again, my brain had compartmentalized so many of these little experiences. There are times where, like, again, like older women, my mom's sister, she liked other people. Like, she used to, and she had her own trauma too, now I know, but she would go out of her way to be nice to so many people. And I remember she went to America. This is when I was in Nigeria. She had bought a name necklace for one of the girls, the secretary's daughter. And I was so excited for my aunt to come to, and she was showing it. And I thought that, oh, maybe my aunt would get me one of this. And again, this is a woman that I thought was insanely beautiful that I looked up to. So the brain, right, the God within you that is blindfolded, is going to, because you're an essence of the creator, things are going to continuously manifest exactly what you believe. So because I believe that I'm disappointed, I'm constantly reminded that I'm irrelevant, these things are going to happen until you catch yourself, no matter if you're in your 50s. That's why you find so many grown people needing certain level of validations, and they're not even able to assign it with what happened in their past. You're either continuously repeating your past, or you're living in your present moment and creating your future from that. But, or you're creating your future from your past. I have been, and a lot of us have been, but I'm creating my future from past experiences, past expectations, compartmentalized events that have happened in my life. At this point, this was like December. I didn't know. I didn't assign it. I didn't think of it. Boom. I'm just moving forward. And every Sunday I go to my ancestors and I'm like, "Help me. I feel like this. I hate that I feel like this. I need a way out. I need a way I need to evolve from this. And I used to, and I say this to everyone, as I am turning 35, I do not want to be the person who is dependent on other people's actions to validate my worth. God, source, universe, however you want to refer to the higher power, will give you opportunities. When you ask for something, there will be opportunities for you to actually put those things into your reality. And I think that me saying that, that was my my opportunity, because it didn't quite reach. So again, I didn't add that. I didn't put 1, 2, 1, 2 together. I go to work around this time. We had a Christmas party, and I am a manager. So I go to an event and there's all managers, and we do this game and I win and somebody else next to me wins. I open my gift in front of everyone. No one pays attention to it. And then the next person has the same gift that I asked, and they're like, oh, for context, they're like, oh, Susan, open your gift. Let's see what gift you have. Susan, let's see what gift you have. Automatically, it takes me back. Whoop. Kind of like Dasa Raven, how you go back to, she's going to the future. I went all the way back to the past to feeling that little girl that's never noticed that other people and their experiences are taken higher than mine. And I go back into that, and I literally feel myself creating a hunch over my, like, instead of me sitting upright, I start to sit and looking at my phone, go back to that, right? But the blessing of it is that I have been doing inner child healing. I have been reparenting my inner child. So I'm able to say this feeling is way too familiar. I added the feeling from dinner, the feeling from work. Oh, these things are way, way too familiar. The old me would have taken that and created another assumption, another deeper assumption, and more things like that would have manifested, where I would have been continuously shown that I'm unworthy. The one that really, really broke the camel's back for me, and I struggled with sharing this because I'm like, ew. I was so ashamed that I allowed that insignificant moment, insignificant person to trigger me so much. But again, when you ask for things, God is continuously going to give you an opportunity to stand on business. My family were going to go and see my cousin who had a baby. I don't get along with his wife. We've had our issues in the past. And everyone was going. And then she told my cousin, oh, she's not allowed to come. And then she gave a flimsy answer. So automatically, I'm placing that she's choosing relevance, importance. So that just, again, I hadn't sat with myself and prayed about things and connected the dots. I was upset. I didn't realize I was upset until I was upset. Once I saw everyone there, I saw everything. It reminded me of how I would be singled out a lot growing up. And I started to have mental conflict with this person in my head. Again, on the norm. Nothing against her, but this is not somebody that I would think two times of. Nothing about her really shushed me up. Like, I don't care to be friends with her. There's nothing there. Like, I am pretty solid as myself as a 30 something year old woman. I'm pretty solid with who I am, especially in contrast with that person. She doesn't intimidate me at all, but her actions triggered me so much that as a kid, I would have these mental conflicts with people that triggered me. I didn't have the opportunity to speak my feelings, I would fantasize about going back and forth. So I did that so much to the point that I would wake up in the morning and I enjoyed it. It felt good. And I forgot about where I was in my evolution. So I kept doing it. And then because that felt good, old patterns, old self-destructive patterns started to slide in, gain a good amount of weight over the year. I would look at people online that I found attractive, women that I found attractive or so, or in magazines, and I would imagine myself as them. That's not something I do, but that's something I started to do. That's something I did as a kid. My way of escape, my way of surviving was to look at people, read books, and escape from my current reality. And I saw myself doing that, and I was like, nah, hell no. Like, that was it. Like, I just needed that. I was like, oh, hell no. We're not doing that. There is nothing. Like, what? what? And because again, I have been on this journey of the law of assumption where I know whatever you assume recreates. So if I'm constantly looking at other people and feeling like they're bigger and better than me, then I'm going to create more of that because there's God within me. And that God, my God, is awakened within me. All the hell you don't. But again, those two events, those three events, I didn't align it with each other. But I think that is the trigger, right? Like little things would happen. It was like, until you're like, boop, okay, boom, I need to get my life together. So that happened. And once I realized I did that, because that's something I did when I was like 8, 9 years old, I immediately went to my altar. Because at this point, I couldn't just script my way out of it. I couldn't visualize my way out of it. I immediately went to my altar and I started to pray. And I talked to my guys and I said that this just happened and it's a hell no. And I know where it's coming from. And I need you guys to help me get to the right space, frame of mind. And I kid you guys not, right? And I feel like our spiritual teams are just there waiting for us to ask. I had this dream. I was maybe 10 or 12 years old. And I don't know who this older woman is, but in my dream, I knew who she was. And she was like a grandmother. She was doing my hair. And she was talking to me. And she was saying all these things about myself, about my life. And she said that you have all the answers. And she said that you need to accept your past so that you can be able to live your future. You need to stop making people in your life more than what they are. Turn that to yourself instead of asking the people to see you. Am I worthy? Am I this person? You need to stop that. You need to know who you are. There was more to that dream. Maybe I'll share it later. But it kind of was like the ghost of Christmas past. I went to different versions of myself and even the future. After I asked for that. Now, I woke up that morning. And as I talk on my podcast, I found myself, which I feel like was a channel message, but I found myself talking to myself, and just like that, everything came to me. So you cannot stop what triggers you, because your body, the vessel that you're in, it is meant to function the way it is because it is meant to help you. What you need to do is take your focus on your consciousness and know that your body is doing its thing. It's doing what bodies do. I walk in a space, I'm overly scared, I'm overly conscious, but this is who I know I am. This is who I want to be. I'm going to do it anyways. So I do it. And there are ways, these are the things that I have used to help me to, I wouldn't say not believe my feelings, understanding my feelings are valid, but move in spite of how I feel. One of it is breath work. So picture yourself. When you have a cold, and I think I said this in my previous episodes, are you the cold? If you cut your finger, is your whole body the finger, even though your whole body is triggered, is sensitive? No. What do? You take care of yourself. You don't say, I am my whole, I am destroyed or I am hurt. You understand. You might say you're hurt, but you understand that your finger is temporarily in need of attention. See your feelings as that. Oh, I walked in this room. Somebody said something that I know triggered this version of myself. As an adult that I am, as a current version of my end, as a person who those versions of me has passed the baton to, with the level of awareness that I have, I know that my body is just doing what bodies do. And I am just here to soothe myself. Breath works help a lot. So breathe in, breathe out for as long as you can until you calm down. Affirmations help. I have at least 5 affirmations that help me. I'm safe. I'm worthy. Stop, I don't believe you. That's not true. If something negative comes to my mind, I know there's a thing where if something negative comes to your mind, you replace it with four more positive things. It's cool and whatnot, but my ADHD just be like, girl, bye. So I try to do that, but if you can't do it, replace it with four more things that are positive. One good negative thought comes to your mind, you replace it with four more things. But no, that's not true. Oh, I just feel like that. That's not the entirety of me. This person is triggering me. I thank you. People are mirrors of you. People are going to relate information to you that needs to be addressed. So if you have self-worth issues, if you have issues where you're constantly feeling a way about yourself, because we're all connected and we're all light workers and shadow workers, somebody is going to come in your life to bring about a message through their actions, through serving you an experience that is going to force you to hopefully go within and work on that version of yourself that is still triggered by that. And oftentimes we don't see that. We watch and be like, this person was a narcissist. But you don't see the gift that that person brought for you. Turn the lemons that they gave you into lemonades. Connect with them on a spiritual level. Hey, thank you for this. I release you. Because this scratched the surface of a wound that runs deep. You know what I'm saying? See what I did there? So I'm trying not to get into like 40 minutes. So I'm trying to keep this as low. I hope this wasn't scattered. I hope you took from it. But yeah, don't believe everything you feel. Things and people are going to constantly trigger you to be more evolved. And that's one part of it. Another part is that our lives are going to continuously replay from the past because we're creating our future from our past until you stop and you decide that no, I felt like this before. I felt like this a little too long. This is who I am. This is who I've chosen to be. Nope, I'm not in cruise control no more. I'm not in autopilot no more. I am the captain. I am the creator of my life. Just because you experienced childhood trauma, does not mean that your life have to revolve around that. Another thing that I've realized with us who are on a spiritual journey, we have taken healing to be this thing where it's like, oop, I'm triggered. This girl triggers me. Every time I come here, I'm triggered. What you gonna do about the trigger? That's it. What exactly are you doing about being triggered by that? Why are you giving this person way more power than what they possess? People are simply messengers. Let them come and give you the message and leave your life. Love is a wonderful, beautiful experience, but you have the ability to love again and again and again. So a lot of times we place these twin flames. We create these labels on people and things to be stuck in a feeling that we're used to, whether we like that feeling or not, because our body like repetition and what it's used to, we get stuck. So I say, don't believe everything you feel. Just because you feel a way, especially if this way is something you felt over and over again, stop yourself and say, nope. I felt like this for a really long time. Where is this coming from? Sit with yourself, write, cry, whatever you need to do to step away from that feeling. And I want you to dive into that with the awareness that you're a spiritual being having a human experience. Your body is meant to survive. Your body is throwing out these things to keep you in survivor mode. Are you going to thrive? I have more to say about this topic, but I think I'm going to stop here. And I could have a continuation in the very near future. So I'll give the tips that I use before I go. Awareness of yourself, awareness of your vessel, awareness of your experiences, acceptance of yourself, your experiences, and then combating that by giving yourself accountability. For me, it is I'm the parent of my inner child. I parent myself as I parent my child. I love on myself. I stop and I say, no, yes, no. She might be trying to tantrum, but I'm like, nope, nope. This is how you feel. This is not what we want. And then validating yourself, affirmations, mirror work, breath work, but research, going within, talking to your guides. So I'm going to stop here. I can be reached at healingtoyourawakening@gmail.com. I am on Instagram and TikTok as healingtoyourawakening. Follow. I would love to interact more with you guys, so please don't be a stranger. I can be reached at healingtoyourawakening@gmail.com. Yeah, I did. I said that. But I love you guys, and I look forward to meeting you guys next week. Pray for me. Fingers crossed. No, I will be here. I am moving forward despite my feelings of anxiousness, despite me overthinking, my feeling that I'm not worthy, I'm not right quite there yet. Whatever the feeling is, I'm working despite it. We are moving forward despite how we feel. All right. Thank you, guys. Talk to you next week. Love you. Bye.